The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
As mentioned, our theme today is coming from Galatians 6 and verses 1 through 5, and I'm reading from the NIV. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. This is the word of the Lord.
Early last year, a Indian mountain climber was climbing Mount Annapurna at 8,091 metres high. It's one of the highest mountains in the world. It's also considered the second most dangerous mountain in the world to climb. This climber, Anurag Malu, was descending down the mountain when he made a mistake. He grabbed the wrong rope. It was the short one. And suddenly, as he made his way down, he ran out of rope. He fell 70 metres down into a ravine, into a crevasse, and he landed at the bottom in a heap, where he lay for 3 days. On the third day, another climber had been able to get access to a rope that was 70 metres long. And he came down that gorge to the very last metre of that rope, where he found Malu unconscious, but alive, just. They were able to gather him up. He was severely frostbitten, in a very bad way. They were able to gather him up and get him up out of that 70 metre long ravine and get him into hospital. He actually died. They were able to resuscitate him. And then over the next 7 months, they did skin graft after skin graft to deal with the frostbite. He's now been discharged from hospital. He's learning to walk once again. Malu made a mistake. He grabbed the wrong rope. It was almost a fatal mistake, but he was rescued. You know, all of us have grabbed the wrong rope at times, haven't we? Metaphorically, all of us have grabbed the wrong rope and suddenly we find ourselves landing in a heap. And maybe for some people it's a short fall, but for some people it is a really long fall. And it takes a lot of effort for there to be rescue and recovery. In other words, we've all fallen into sin. And that's what Paul's writing about here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. He says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin. The actual original language here is not caught in a sin, but if someone takes a false step. Now, the significance of that is that if we think back to a couple of weeks ago, we were looking at Galatians chapter 5, and we talked about that if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And so we had this imagery of what it meant to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, and then to keep in step with the Spirit. And now just 3 verses later, at the start of chapter 6 comes this comparison of what it means to take a false step. So what are these false steps? Well, it could be the false steps are the sins of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, we learn about these sins of the flesh like sexual sins and false religions, social sins, sins of society. It could be the sins such as those of the people who were following the law of Moses. Or it could be any number of other sins. Coming back to Malu, some months later, Malu met his rescuer, another man who happened to be on the mountain, a man who was able to get access to a 70-metre long rope and was able to rappel all the way down that to the bottom. And Malu asked him the question, why did you save me? Adam's response was, I was there. I was there and you needed help. Another time, I could be the one in need. Isn't that true for all of us? This is what Paul is asking when he says, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. You who live by the Spirit. You who are walking in the Spirit. You who are led by the Spirit. You who are in step with the Spirit. You who are living by the Spirit are intentionally fostering the growth of the fruit of the Spirit in your lives. The fruit that we talked about last week. Love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. See, the one who is living by the Spirit is called to restore the other person gently. Have you ever dislocated a joint? I see a few nods. If you've dislocated a joint, you know how painful that is. Not only is it painful, there's a loss of function. You can't move it. It's weak. You can't do the things that you would normally do until it is put back into place. The language there to restore that person is actually the same language that is used to relocate a dislocated joint. It's the same language or wording that is used in that context. The language of to restore a person gently is to take that which is out of place, that which is painful, and that which has lost function, and to be able to bring it back to where it should be, where it doesn't hurt, where function is restored. Well, that's like the person who's been caught in sin. When they're living in sin, it's often painful to them and to those around about them. Often, there's a loss of function in their relationships. And so we are called to restore them gently, just as a dislocated joint should be put back into place. But we must realize that restoration is always desirable, but not always achievable when we want it. There are three important steps required for restoration. The first is acknowledgement of an issue. If a person doesn't acknowledge an issue, then it is impossible to progress. See, if we go back to the sins of the flesh in Galatians 5, if a person doesn't acknowledge they have an issue with, say, idolatry, then they're not going to see the need to address it. So let's say their idolatry is that of work. They say, work's not my idol. I just work long hours because I love it. Love my job. Or it might be, work's not my idol. I just work long hours because it makes me feel good. I'm making such a difference in other people's lives. Or I just work long hours to avoid having to be at home with somebody else. In every one of those cases, the overarching issue is their work becomes the primary motive for their life. But if they can't acknowledge that, then you can't help restore them. The second step, if someone is willing to acknowledge an issue, then they need to confess it. Lord, I'm sorry that I've made work my idol. I'm sorry that I work such long hours to earn more money because I don't trust you to provide it for me. That's confession. I'm sorry that I'm using my work to avoid dealing with a difficult relationship. That's acknowledgement and confession. But the third step is repentance. Lord, I know I need to stop this workaholic tendency. Please show me what I need to change in my life. But you see, repentance is more than a prayer. Repentance is a real decision to make a real commitment to real life change. It's all of those things. You are deciding to commit to something that is going to bring about real life change. And so these three steps of acknowledging an issue, of confessing it and repenting of it, is each an essential step that is required to help someone be restored gently. Without these three steps, in that order, restoration can't happen. Now, restoration typically involves at least two people. There's the person who is being restored, and then there is the people or people, the more than one, who is walking with them to help them be restored. The first part of Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 is about helping the person who needs to be restored. The rest of this passage is about you who might be walking with someone who's being restored. And so Paul starts addressing this. He says, "Watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted." Well, how might you be tempted? Well, you might be tempted to succumb to the same sin. As you spend lots of time with someone who's struggling with something, maybe in one of your weaker moments, you might find that you succumb to the same temptation as that person. Or perhaps you might find yourself thinking, "Oh no, that is such a bad thing. I would never do that. I'd never be like them." And so with this increasing pride about how good you are compared to how bad they are, do you see the problem? The temptation there is actually one of pride. And this was a huge challenge for the church in Galatia. See, the Judaizers were proud of the fact that they knew the law of Moses and they upheld it and they were righteous. And they looked down on those people who talked about grace alone. And the people of grace alone would look and say, "Well, at least we don't have to keep the law like them." And so what happened was that each of them took pride in their position, which brought division into the church. Both of them were being tempted to sin. But there is a third temptation, as you see someone caught in sin. It is the risk of not wanting to offend them. The risk of not wanting to damage your relationship with them, and so you choose to overlook their sin. Now, you might justify it as saying, "Well, I'm just giving them grace. I'm just showing grace to them." But what if you start focusing on just tolerating their sin? See, there's a saying that culture is what you create and what you tolerate. Culture is what you create and what you tolerate. In other words, you can try and put all the right things in the right place in order to create a good culture. That's wonderful, and that culture can flourish and grow. But on the other hand, if you just tolerate things, you're actually deciding to allow those things to influence culture. The same is true in people's lives. That what you tolerate there, you are indirectly condoning. Because you're allowing that sin to continue to exist and maybe even flourish in that person's life. And so the challenge here is that by tolerating that person's behavior, you are allowing it to continue and you are not deciding to help them on a journey of restoration. In fact, the challenge there is that when you make a decision, then you go and do it. But if you don't make a decision, you have actually made a decision. The temptation to tolerate their sin is actually selfish. Because your need for a relationship with them is greater than your desire for their restoration. And so you don't discuss it. You avoid it. And all the while it frustrates you and it upsets you. And you both know it's an issue. You both know it's there. But you'd rather tiptoe around it rather than help that person be gently restored. Now, having said that, you also need to pray into when and how to restore. Because timing and strategy must be in step with the Spirit. Because we know that the right word at the right time will bring the right outcome. The right word at the wrong time brings the wrong outcome. So how do you know? You're praying and you're asking for Holy Spirit revelation. You're asking that the Holy Spirit would show you when and how to have that conversation. So be prayerful and intentional in choosing to restore those God leads you to do so. And that's why Paul writes, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Have you ever had surgery or an injury or something like that where the doctor says to you, you're not to do any lifting for the next 2 weeks or the next 6 weeks or however long it might be that the doctor's told you, you cannot lift? Well, during that time of recuperation, of rehabilitation, you are needing someone else to come in and carry those things that you cannot carry. That's what's being portrayed here. Carry each other's burdens. The word burden here means something that is weighty, something that is heavy. But in this context, it's not just something that's physically heavy. It could be an emotional burden. It could be a spiritual heaviness. It could be the weight of temptation. So be prepared to carry each other's burdens, physically, emotionally, or spiritually. And as you do, you will fulfill the law of Christ. It's interesting that Paul chose to use the words here, law of Christ, because so much of Galatians is about the law. It's about those who are saying that salvation is by grace plus the law of Moses. In Acts 15:10, the law of Moses is referred to as a yoke, where those who are following the law carry the weight of the law. They carry the challenge of trying to obey all 613 rules and rituals and regulations that make up the Mosaic law. Now, compare the yoke of all of that compared to what Jesus said when he said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what is this law of Christ that has an easy yoke and a light burden? When Jesus was asked about the greatest commandments, he quoted from the law. He quoted from Deuteronomy 6, love the Lord your God. He quoted from Deuteronomy 19, love your neighbor as yourself. But when Jesus was there gathered with his disciples the night that he was betrayed, having the Last Supper, and he's sitting there talking with them, he gives them a new commandment. He didn't bring it up from Scripture. It was a new commandment. And he said, a new commandment I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. See, this verse reinforces the heart of what it means to carry one another's burdens, to look out for each other, especially when the burden is too heavy for that person to carry alone. See, when we carry someone else's burden, we are revealing Christ's love in us and through us to them. We are living the law of Christ. But when you are helping a brother or sister in Christ, be careful. Be careful not only, as we saw in verse 2, that you might be tempted, but be careful not to deceive yourselves. Because verse 3 goes on and says, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. If you think you are something because you do not do a particular wrong that you've seen others do, be careful. Be careful, otherwise you might be deceiving yourself. In Romans 12, Paul put it another way. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. See, this passage is showing us that who we are in Christ is only because of the grace of God. It is by the grace of God that we are who we are, and in the same way as we have received grace, we are to offer grace. But we're also to live in sober judgment, or in today's language, you might say, be self-aware. Be self-aware, self-assessing of your behaviour fairly in accordance with the faith God has distributed to you. In other words, don't assume that you won't be tempted because you're better than them. That's the risk that may be there. So how do we do that? Well, verse 4 says, each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. Now, as a follower of Jesus, who are we meant to become like? See, the concept of discipleship is that a disciple becomes more and more like the one they follow. That's the very basis of the word disciple. So as disciples of Jesus, we're meant to become more and more like Jesus. And if we're growing to becoming more and more like Christ, then how are we measuring up? How are we going with that? Are our words and actions becoming more and more like that of Christ? So ask yourself, am I growing? When I was in a similar situation to this previously, how did I respond then compared to this time? Have I grown in peace? Because last time this happened, I got really angry. I was really unsettled about it. This time, am I as angry? Or do I have more peace? Last time something like this happened, have I grown in patience? Am I able to be more patient this time? Am I able to wait and watch and see what unfolds? Last time something pushed all my buttons, how did I respond compared to this time? Have I got more self-control? See, I'm intentionally choosing aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Because one of the ways that we see if we're growing is by seeing if we are growing in the fruit of the Spirit. Last week, Graham talked about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. One of the ways that we see if we're growing is when we are under pressure. Are we exhibiting more of the juice of the fruit of the Spirit? And you see, we are called to test our own actions. Our behaviour, the way we act, our behaviour is always a consequence of our beliefs. Always. How we see ourselves and what we believe about ourselves determines how we respond in the situations we find ourselves in. If we see ourselves as unloved, we find it very hard to love God and one another. If we see ourselves as judged, we find it very easy to judge others. If we see ourselves as a sinner who has been forgiven, we are more able to forgive others. When we are growing in our understanding of who we are as God's beloved children, when we see that we are growing in the fruit of the Spirit, when we are better able to express the fruit of the Spirit, then we can take pride. That's what it says, to take pride in ourselves. But this is not an arrogant pride. It's not an unhealthy pride. It's a self-assessment. It's a satisfaction in who we are becoming. Because you see, we are no longer comparing ourselves to others. We're comparing ourselves to who we were oh, look, I am growing. And we're comparing ourselves to Christ, who we're seeking to grow more like. See, as followers of Jesus, we have a responsibility to grow in Christ-likeness. And when we think of a little baby who's sort of lying there for a while, and then they start to learn to commando crawl, and then they learn to crawl, and then they learn to walk, and then they learn to brush their teeth. That's a good day. And then they get to learn to tie their own shoelaces. And we look back and we go, oh, they're growing up. This is good. You see, we want to be able to look back and see that we're growing emotionally. We want to look back and see that we're growing spiritually throughout our whole lives. We don't want to look back and see that our behavior today is the same as it was 5 years ago. We want to be growing in Christ. And so as we grow, we learn to carry our own load. This is what verse 5 tells us. For each one should carry their own load. Well, let's go back to verse 2. In verse 2, it said to carry each other's burdens. So what's this difference between a burden and a load? Well, the word burden means a heavy weight. It may be something that is too heavy to be carried alone. And that's why we seek someone to come along and help them carry it. So that person isn't carrying as much, and therefore it's easier to help that person be restored. In verse 5, it's saying, though, it's talking about you and the load that you carry. The word load here, in the original language, was used in two contexts. The first was what we would call as the load that a ship would carry. We today would call it the cargo. Now, there's a difference between the amount of cargo a tinny can carry compared to a freighter ship. Would you agree? The bigger the ship, the more purpose-built it is, the more load it can carry. In the same way, God designs each of you to carry a load that God wants you to carry. And as you grow, you are able to carry more of the load. The second context in which the word load was used 2,000 years ago when this was written was that like the backpack or a rucksack that a Roman soldier would carry. A soldier who was fit, who was strong, who was trained to carry the load. Each of us is given a load to carry. Each of you has been gifted with spiritual gifts to steward. And with that comes a responsibility. With that load comes the opportunity that you would be trained to carry it and use it well. Each of you have a load of a different level of responsibility. And you are called to carry the responsibility that God has given you and to carry it well. See, each of us has a unique load, a different combination of skills, of gifts, of abilities and responsibilities. This is what God is entrusting you with. And as you carry that load, God will give you more. He will trust you with more as you grow. And so we need to identify what is the load that God is calling you to carry so that you would grow it well. See, as growing believers, we are responsible for how we live, for what we do, for who we are becoming, for how we carry our load, and how we help others carry their load. See, we're called to test our actions, to see how we are going. We're not trying to compare ourselves to the one up there who seems to be amazing at everything they do. We're not called to compare ourselves to the one down there and go, oh, look at them. No, we're called to be self-assessing, am I growing? And we're called to compare ourselves to Christ as we seek to grow to become more like him. But ultimately, we will need to give an account of ourselves to God. That's what matters. Ultimately, our accountability is before God for how we grow and how we conduct ourselves. And so let us stop now and just reflect on what God is saying to us. Here's some questions you might like to reflect on. Is there someone God is calling you to restore gently? Is there someone whose burden you can help carry? Are you testing your own actions to see how you're growing? And how are you going with carrying your own load? Take a moment and think through one or more of those questions. Just let the Lord speak to you. As you reflect on what God is saying, say, Lord, what do you want me to do about it? What are the actions I need to take? Heavenly Father God, we thank you for your incredible love. Thank you, Lord, that you made a way for us to be restored. Like Malou in the bottom of that deep crevice, we were not able to rescue ourselves. But you sent the rescuer. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for us, that we would be rescued, that we would be restored, that we would have life. Thank you, Lord. In the same way, Lord, as we've been the recipients of your incredible grace, Heavenly Father, we pray that we would have the grace to extend to others, that, Lord, we would see who it is that you've placed in our lives, that we would walk alongside to help restore them gently. But Lord, we realize from this passage today that when we seek to do that, there's a whole lot of challenges in it. There's a challenge of the temptations that would come. Help us, Lord, to be in step with the Spirit, that we would know what to say, how to say it, and when to say it. We'd know what to do and how to do it and when to do it. So, Lord, we would restore that person in the love of Christ. Father God, we want to make a difference in people's lives. Lord, we realize at times that means that we have to have the courage to have the conversations that maybe we've been avoiding. I pray, Father God, that you would enable your people to hear clearly from you, that they would have the courage and conviction to have the conversations that you would want them to have. And they would do that with grace, love, humility. Father God, we realize that we need to grow. Every one of us needs to grow so that we are able to walk with others. So Lord, help us to walk in step with the Spirit, to be growing, attuned to you, to be growing because we're willing to put in the effort to carry the load that you've called us to carry, to steward it well, that, Lord, we'd bring glory and honor to your name, because that's our greatest desire, that that you would be glorified. And so, Father, as we go into this week, I pray your rich blessings over each and every one here and each one who's gathering with us online, that, Lord, you would bless each one to be increasingly aware of who they are in you. Bless them wherever you have placed them and with whomever you have placed them, that they would shine with the light of Christ in that place, and that they would be able to carry the burden of others that you would call them to, and know those that they're not called to carry as well. So, Lord, they're in complete sync with you, being, Lord, your children, about the Father's will, and drawing more people to the Father. So I pray your blessings over each and every one in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 11 44, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.